Well, at least if it's on the top and everything, you get a lot better signal going all the way around.
I definitely noticed the difference in signals having it where I have it, that's for sure. I try to keep that in mind where the vehicle is pointed if I'm at a great distance to the repeater. So I was up at Collier Park. I was parked. There was more metal facing the direction of Hogback, I think it was. So, and I was able to talk with you easily through the mobile. Could not even do it from my handheld at all.
Right. And then, you know, well, I don't know, you did pretty good when you was down there in Milan, and then talking on your your handheld.
Well, I went to the top of the slide, actually. So, it worked a lot better, I think. Just being a little bit higher.
Yeah, it's surprising what just a little bit of elevation will help out doing.
You know, it goes out in Sprig River, kind of a little bit up on the ridge, and I was talking to you on low power on my handheld, getting into Hogback that one day I tested it. So yeah, it was elevation and wasn't too much in the way, I don't think, but yeah, I was able to hit the repeater on low power on the handheld.
Yeah. Well, if you're out in Sprague River in that area and stuff, can't you hit Beatty repeater on that one out there? Or is it still around the mountain too much?
Yeah, it depends, because in those ridges, dips, and valleys, you could lose it completely, but you could still kind of get the hog back. But going north, I was able to hit it by Lone Pine. But pretty much after that, you can't because of the ridges and the obstructions in the way. But in that greater area, you're pretty good to hit it, just in my experience. And once you go past it, since it's not on top of the mountain, you kind of get drop-off going towards Bly, actually. Pretty big drop-off. That's even on the propagation map, too.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember the train out there and stuff, and seeing which one would be the better ones. But I guess, you know, whichever one you can hit is the one that you can talk on.
No, when the link was down out there, I was actually weeding the property out there, and I was at the property hitting Hogback, so. Just for extra help, I had my hand mic and put the radio high in the air and just talking to him about instructions, what to do. I was able to get into Hogback pretty good from there because it's generally higher and you can kind of get over Bly Mountain a little bit. So it was working out.
Oh, that's interesting. But yeah, that, especially. You were on your handheld when you was doing that, what you said?
Yeah, I was on the 935G, and it's generally accepted that the stock antenna is actually pretty quality made. They even sell it. So, I mean, I think I agree with that, because I've tested the handheld, and the antenna seems to do pretty well, and it's pretty well tuned to the radio. What's interesting, though, is the antenna is, what, 8 inches long or something. It's a lot bigger than a, I don't know, accepted standard, which is like 6 or so inches, but I think it's just for aesthetics, really.
I don't know, because, well, I do know, well, as much, I haven't even put on, I've just only had the stock antenna on mine, like you said. So I haven't even tried it with any other antenna yet.
Yeah, I know the old BTEC V1s with decided to get the antenna that was suggested for, which is a dual band antenna, and had those, and the two Ocean radios easily outperformed those on range and clarity and everything because of their heterodyne radios, but they're probably more sensitive, so I just know from testing those Simplex that the ones that we have now work a lot better. Like places I could talk to, you know, like on these radios you couldn't do on the other ones. It could come down to that dual band antenna. That's what I'm thinking. Or, well, I tested the power, and the power was about the same, so it's not like a big dip in power that would be a factor, I suppose, but I think it's more or less the antenna.
Yeah. Well, I just measured the antenna on my 935, and it's 8.5 inches is what I measured. So, yeah, about 8 inches, you know, so, and for a stock antenna, that's really good, you know, for all of that.
On the Buy Two-Way Radio site, they sell that antenna, so that must say something that, you know, it's in demand and people like it, and it's supposedly high gain or whatever that means, where it has a decibel increase, but they don't say what that increase is. On the Nagoya antennas, it's like, I don't know, 2.5 dBi or something on those antennas, and I got the little 7, what is it, the GMRS antenna, like 5.5 inches, that's what's on my wife's radio right now, but, I mean, that one seemed to do good, even though it got bent at the base, and I was radio testing it, and it seems to be fine.
Yeah, well, I know on my BTEC, I've got the Nagoya 771G on it, and the only thing I don't, on that is when we're doing the Channel 3 deal and the bleed over that I was getting on it.
I got a funny story to tell you. When I was at that K-Bar meeting, there was a lady sitting next to me. She was, you know, she's an amateur extra. So she's showing me about the antenna, and I was telling her about my antenna being glued on. She's like, just take the radio apart, and you can get that connector out of there, and it kind of gave me some ideas. And she had a signal stick radio on one of her, kid radios, and kind of tied it in a knot. It's like, yeah, this is a nice antenna, you can tie it in a knot and everything. And as the meeting went along, it kind of unwound and whacked me in the side of the head, and we had a big laugh about it because it was a signal stick antenna. Stand by, I got a phone call, Dibber, UI-779.
WRZN-509.